When I say I'm changing up for hour number two, what I mean is I'm going to start by talking some Major League Baseball. We are joined by a baseball columnist for the New York Post. He is an MLB Network insider. Lots to cover with Joel Sherman. Joel, good to have you back. How are you?
It's good to be back, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for doing it, Joel. Let me start with the Yankees. They've been obviously decimated, Joel, by injuries, yet they're still just two games out of first in the AL East. Aaron Boone is always going to take a lot of heat when things don't go well. So in your mind, Joel, how much credit does he deserve for the season and how it's gone so far?
I almost feel, Jim, like you deserve credit if, in reverse, you were going to take the blame, and if they were sitting at like 16-21 right now, he'd be getting a lion's share of the blame, even with all the injuries. I think there's something very similar going on. The Nationals are kind of devastated by injuries, and I think their leadership and culture is not that great, and they're kind of underperforming what talent is still there. And, of course, one of the things we're seeing is Davey Martinez, their manager, is on the hot seat. So I always think if you're surviving it well, like the Yankees are, I mean, I think even to some degree the Pirates have, I think the Pirates have used the injured list one more time than even the Yankees this year, and in a tough division, they're surviving it. I think some of the credit's got to go to the manager.
Now, Joel, you mentioned culture. Every single time I have a manager or a coach or a front office person on this program these days, the word culture inevitably comes up. It seems like front offices and coaches are obsessed with it. How would you describe the culture of the Yankees?
Well, I wrote about this a few days ago, Jim, which is just, look, they've had a winning record now for this. If it continues this year, I think it's 27 straight seasons, every year since 1993. And they've either made the playoffs or been in contention at the worst until the final week of the season in all those years. And I assume one of these years they're going to win 76 games. But until I see it, I'm going to assume they'll figure it out. I watched them figure it out in a year where they needed pitchers named Aaron Small and Sean Chacon to pitch great, and Aaron Small and Sean Chacon pitched great. They were in the race until the last week of the season when they had a lineup in, I think it was 2013, with Robinson Cano and what seemed like a bunch of, you know, former guys who used to be able to play but couldn't play anymore, like Ichiro and Vernon Wells and Lyle Overbay and Travis Hafner. And they figured out how to get to the playoffs. I saw them get to the playoffs when early in the season. Yeah, I didn't get to the playoffs that year, but they were in it till the end. I saw them make it when Mariano Rivera blew out his knee on the warning track, and that seemed like a deadly thing. And when Derek Jeter popped his shoulder in the first game of the season. So until I see them not make it, I will assume that they'll kind of figure out a way to get through that. And I think in some ways, Jim, they're blessed to play in New York. I know most people think, oh, New York's a tough place to play. But I think because they're under kind of constant scrutiny and by both kind of fan media, but also their history, that they are held to a high standard, it kind of keeps people in this kind of very serious professional next man up bent. And it's existed now from Buck Showalter through Joe Torre through Joe Girardi and now Aaron Boone.
You know, now we're getting to something, really. Joel Sherman joining us, because I was going to say to you next, Joel, like that culture that we're talking about, is it simply in the walls of the clubhouse and it gets passed down, or is this coming from Brian Cashman?
Well, I think it comes from a lot of places, but I know, you know, look, we're more connected to the fans of teams than ever before because of a variety of social medias, notably Twitter, and I watched a fan base in New York act a large segment, but some segment with the, you know who screams the loudest, Jim, is people who are upset with things. And they were very upset that the Yankees spent money to bring back CC Sabathia and Brett Gardner. And the reality is that Brett Gardner and CC Sabathia were good baseball players last year. They, so far when they've played this year, they've been just good. They aren't as good as they were at their peak, but they're good. But they kind of preached the, for better sense of the word, the Yankee way. And I think they're passing it on to a kind of Aaron Judge and Dellin Betances and other people I expect will be the leaders of the team after this year when Sabathia is retired and I think there's a pretty good chance that Gardner won't be back again. And I do think having standards of how you expect to play, handle yourself, really do matter in sports. You know, I put, you know, we see the other places where I know one year the Patriots probably won't win the AFC East, or the Spurs won't make the playoffs, but like the Yankees, I'm, you know, until I see it, I'm just going to believe that they're all going to be good.
The Patriot way, the Yankee way, the Spurs certainly have their way. I agree. Joel Sherman joining us. Joel, so what about the Red Sox? They worked their way back to 500. In your opinion, have they finally figured it out and gotten back to being the team that won it all last year, or are there still concerns?
Yeah, I think there's concerns because I think they have legitimate depth issues that can be exposed over the course of the year that in some ways haven't really popped up yet. Like the Yankees have had to find a lot of depth early in this season. The Red Sox have used a lot of farm system over the last few years to go out and do what they did last year. I mean, that's ultimately the goal. It's not to be, you know, the champion of the Baseball America prospect rankings. It's to use whatever you have to get a parade and rings. And they did that successfully last year. But I do think it's left them depth vulnerable this season. That being said, you look at the lineup they send out every day. It's a monster. Guys in their prime who you expect to continue to perform at a very high level. They seem to, on the roll here, find some key bullpen pieces or like guys rise to the occasion. Matt Barnes, Heath Hembree, a few others. And they do, again, without serious injury to their rotation, especially since it looks like Chris Sale has figured it out again. And I know they have David Price on the injured list. As long as they don't have substantial injury, they have good starting pitching. And quite frankly, the American League, aside from four, maybe five teams, stinks. So you know, there's just going to be a lot of feasting to get records to a certain place. And I think the Red Sox certainly are capable of feasting on the bad teams and getting their record to a place where come July or August, we're thinking, oh, yeah, they had a tough start, but here they are again. They're going to be a factor the rest of the way.
Got a few more minutes with Joel Sherman. So, Joel, what about the Mets? They've lost 5 out of 6. They're 3 games under 500. I understand it's early, but you and I talked about the Yankees and their culture at length. How would you describe the Mets and their culture?
Yeah, so you kind of put some words in my mouth. As somebody who spends a lot of time around both teams, I get to kind of see these laboratories at work, and I do think the Mets have what I might describe as anti-culture. Again, until it changes, that what can go wrong and undermine them tends to go wrong and undermine them. I think they're not helped at all by having this chip on their shoulder about the Yankees. So, look, if they had the 10 greatest years in Mets history in a row starting from today, they're never catching up to the Yankee history. The Yankees had a 4 or 5 decade head start, and they've got 27 championships. So, you know, the Mets could win the next 24 in a row, and they'd still be down 27 to 26. And trying to compete with that, I think, is folly. I think that the Mets tend to think when there's positive things in this town written or said about the Yankees and criticism of them, that it's about a conspiracy instead of reality, which is, again, the Yankees have been really good for a quarter of a century plus, and the Mets have never made the playoffs 3 straight years. They pop up, they'll have 2015 and 16, and you think, wow, they're on their way, and then all of a sudden, you know, 2 steps forward, 2 steps back, they're struggling again. And they definitely have a level of talent this season that should suggest serious contention to at least make the playoffs. But I do think they continue to have some depth issues that they'll have to continue to address over the next few years so that when they reach down to the minor leagues, there's real answers there. Or, you know, like what one of the things, you know, you see this in L.A., right, with the Dodgers. Think about some of the Dodger success stories, you know, the Max Muncy types out of no place that even the richest team has. You know, the Yankees out of no place. It's Luke Voit. It's Aaron Hicks. It's Didi Gregorius. It's Chad Green. It's hard to find, like the Mets don't do that well. They don't create talent out of nothing. And that's the only way you create depth, is if you have good scouting, good analytics, or invest in both worlds, both, and you're able to unearth some stuff that other people didn't see and then develop it to a high end. And the Mets have some depth issues because they haven't done that at a good level.
Joel Sherman, my guest. Joel, how about one more question before I let you go? I'm fascinated by all this, but I've got to ask you about the Marlins, because they're already 16 games below 500. Again, it is early, but it seems like they're pretty much eliminated from contention by the end of April, if not before the season. How much of this, then, is on Derek Jeter, and how much of it is on his predecessors?
Yeah, I think the weight is on both of them. Right now, I hope I remember all four names as I do this, right, is you can make a case, Domingo Germán, Chris Paddock, Trevor Williams, and Luis Castillo are four of the best pitchers in baseball right now. They were all traded by the old administration of the Marlins for almost nothing. And if they were sitting with those four pitchers, pretty good chance you might not have even had to trade all the position players. But even if you did, you would have a young core of starting pitching where you'd be saying right now, wow, the Marlins have something to build around. And then this new administration came in and traded away all the best of what was left, which was position players. And clearly to date, and sometimes this takes a long time to gestate, Jim, but to date, they have hardly gotten enough back for what they gave up, especially for Christian Yelich. And, you know, you put those two things together, bad yesterday, bad today, well, you got a really, really bad present and not a great looking near future. And, you know, I think there's a lot of pathology there. It's not too much to go into in a short radio interview, but I think it's going to be hard for them to get over it anytime soon. And I do think a big key to the NL East, and this isn't, you know, splitting the atom, it's been talked about a lot, is you better figure out how to throw up a 15-4 against the Marlins if you're the Phillies or the Mets or the Nationals or the Braves, because they're the easy pickings in the division, and it's a way to kind of get 10 over real easy against one opponent. And if you don't do it and your rivals in the division do it, you're going to be playing from behind.
He is a baseball columnist for the New York Post, an MLB Network insider, and all over that sport. Joel Sherman, my guest. Joel, so good to get caught up. Always appreciate that insight and the energy. Thanks so much, Joel.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Have a great day, Joel. Appreciate you, and I appreciate that.